Okay, we'll end our recess and come back and continue on with item number 8 on our agenda, Oregon Public Works Cooperative Assistance Agreement, and Director Capping.
Thanks, sir. So this is a review of the Oregon Public Works Cooperative Agreement, Assistance Agreement. We've been participating in this for a number of years. Basically what this does, it sets a contract between us and other counties and cities that says in the event of emergency, we will provide service for them at a fair rate, they'll provide service for us at a fair rate. So there's no price gouging going on. Typically with like Harrisburg or Benita, I don't even charge them, we just go help them and they help us when we need help. So, but this just makes it all legal, puts it in a nice package for everybody to sign and make sure that, you know, nobody's gonna price gouge anybody at any certain time, and then we all agree to help each other. So, my recommendation that you pass this again, it's a great agreement to have in place for the city. This did go in front of the Public Works Committee on November 1st, and they recommended sending it to you for final approval. There's a motion there for you, if you so choose to pass it.
Councilors, any discussion? And I would ask for...
Sounds like a good idea.
Councilor Wishman.
I make a motion to approve the Oregon Public Works Cooperative Agreement and authorize the Public Works Director to sign the necessary documents.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve the Oregon Public Works Cooperative Agreement and authorize Public Works Director to sign the necessary documents. The motion was made by Councilor Washburn, seconded by Councilor Thomas. So, Councilor Leach?
Yes.
Councilor?
Yes. Ebby?
Councilor Senega?
Yes.
Councilor Washburn?
Yes.
And Councilor Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, passed 5-0. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Also, next item, Gary, is the Moose Lodge street closure request.
Yes, sir. So Mike Peterson of Junction City Moose Lodge has requested to close Front Street from 3rd to 6th on December 18th. They had the same closure last year for a drive-by Santa. It went over so well that they want to do it again this year. Staff has no problem with it. Fire and police have no problem with it. This did go to the Public Works Committee on December 7th, December 8th.
Community development.
Community development, sorry. December 8th.
It was the 7th.
This did go in front of them, and they thought it was a good idea, wanted to send it to council for final approval.
Discussion by county councilors.
I think it's a great idea.
Anything for Santa. Yes, we can't be mean to Santa and not let him know.
There's the same conditions of approval that they did to last year, and nothing's going to change. We'll set barricades out for them, they'll be ready to go.
So I make a motion to approve the street closure request for the Moose Lodge for drive-by Santa on December 18th, 2021, as conditioned in Attachment B with a non-exclusive use of city streets and street closure from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. The use of city streets will apply to this section of front between 3rd and 6th.
I'll second that.
Ladies first. Okay, we have a motion that was made by Councilor Thomas and seconded by Councilor Leach to approve the street closure request for the Moose Lodge drive-by Santa on December 18th, 2021, as conditioned in Attachment B with the non-exclusive use of city streets for city closure from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. The use of city streets will apply to the section of Front Street between 3rd and 6th. So vote, Councilor Thomas.
Yes.
Councilor Washburn.
Yes.
Councilor Senega.
Yes.
Councilor Gamby.
Yes.
And Councilor Leach.
Yes.
Okay, passes 5-0. Okay, next item 10 on our agenda is liquor license application. And Chief Morris?
JC Mart has applied for a liquor license. This is the former grocery outlet, or grocery, I can't remember what the name, but what's the?
United Grocery.
United Grocery, there we go. It's at 930 Ivy Street, and we have no objection to their, it's for an off-site consumption. It's no different than the grocery store that's there right now, but we have to go through the motion. We have no issues with it whatsoever, and there are some motion, council options there for you.
Any questions or concerns from council?
They just sold it, right? New owner?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions?
Oh, here, so sorry.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I make a motion to recommend approval of the liquor license application for JC Mart Incorporated.
I second that.
Okay, Counselor Leach has made a motion, seconded by Counselor Thomas, to recommend approval of the liquor license application for JC Mart Incorporated. Counselor Leach?
Yes.
Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
And Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you, 5-0. Okay, item 11 is our Business Pandemic Impact Support Program Audit, RFP, Director Crocker.
Okay, so the council directed the finance committee to compile a scope of work that could be included in a request for bids for a forensic audit of the Business Pandemic Impact Support Program. The finance committee met and discussed this on November 4th. They reviewed a list of scope items and other RFP samples, as well as Mr. Sumner's agenda item request. The list of scope items includes every item from the agenda item request from Mr. Sumner. And if you compare the list that's in the RFP and the agenda item request, you can compare them just one to the other, they match up. I actually reviewed those with the finance committee, and I'm glad to go over those one by one if you'd like. The RFP is for a forensic audit, which requires a certified forensic auditor, and I have reached out to a couple in the state to kind of get an idea of what that involves, and so there are some available. In fact, I was talking to the city's auditor, and their firm is certified to do those kinds of audits. And so if the council approves the RFP or wants to distribute it, Eisner might bid on it, I'm not sure. Anyway, council is asked to review the attached draft request for proposals. It's in attachment B. And you'll notice in attachment B, that list of scope items is on page 3. I want to make sure that everybody has seen that. And that list there, if you compare that to the attachment A, the citizen request, you can match those up. Every one of them. So, anyway, the committee forwarded this, the RFP, to council for your review. If you wish to issue the RFP, staff will distribute the RFP as quickly as possible and bring the responses back to council. There's a motion for you if you wish to do that. And I know the finance committee may have additional comments.
Any questions for Director Crocker or questions about the RFP?
I went to the finance committee meeting that they discussed this and was pretty thorough. Mike did a good job.
You said you talked to a couple of people around the state. Do we have any estimate of what this might cost?
Well, it's only going to be an estimate as far as, you know, a conversation that I have with a couple of different vendors, including our auditors, but it seemed to indicate that it would be in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, but you're only going to know if you put out that RFP and get those actual bids.
But the reason I asked that, Mike, if the cost is something that's going to affect one of the counselors or any of us, I thought at least we could get, that would give us a ballpark, knowing that it still could go higher.
I think it's worth the cost of clearing the air about this, and everything's transparent. And I've been asked so many times by so many people, and this, one way or the other, it'll be taken care of. So it's worth the price to have the people in the community trust what we're doing. So to me, it's a good thing.
Anybody else?
I was on that committee, and I'd just like to say I think that's a good idea, too, to be transparent.
As Councilor Gamby said, he was the chair of the committee. I also sit on it, and we did discuss it at length, and I thought we had good discussions.
Yeah, Jack was there.
So we all received a letter from a citizen, and Mr. DeMarco was in the audience. While we're still in, do you have anything to mention tonight?
Sure. As usual.
Do you want to please step up and give your name and address for the record, please?
DeMarco, 1790 Rose Street, Richmond City. Yeah, as usual, I'm very thorough in my communication, so if I can shorten it a little bit for anybody, I will. And based on Mike's presentation, I think it boils down to your scope of work, as you've been reminded several times, reflects exactly what Jack Sumner put in his request. That's unusual to have a citizen determine the scope of work, but I see how staff got that. So my issue is not with the audit. I think it makes sense to clear the air. Anytime there's process where funds are dispersed, you know, just like your audit presentation tonight, you heard about internal controls, which we had trouble for quite a few years getting. Mike successfully negotiated all that so that we had enough people checking. You know, one person doing all the disbursement is usually a problem for that kind of content. And in this program, you do potentially have that problem. You had one person pretty much doing all the disbursement and doing all the work and not delegating much of that I'm aware of. So I think that's a good idea. But since effectively a citizen wrote the scope of work, I have a couple of issues with it that I think staff should have intercepted, which I said in the letter. It's impossible under these criteria for a counselor to have a conflict of interest. The criteria do not address that, so that's impossible. They can have a conflict of interest in another way, which you have addressed. But by putting this in there, you basically just give people the opportunity to talk about it. Well, counselors are being investigated to see if they have a conflict of interest. Well, they don't under these criteria. They may in another way, which, you know, that's another issue. And there are laws to cover that. So saying that you're auditing to see if there's a conflict of interest creates an appearance to the public like there's potentially a problem that way. And there's not. Three of you that are seated if they voted for these criteria, you should know what they are. And they don't exclude a counselor from being involved in any way, shape, or form, including the shape or form of that might violate another set of laws at the state level. So that's actually damaging to anyone who was seated on the council last year, including three of you. Everyone's got an association with a business on the list, I'm sure. I don't have the list. Jack does. Some of you probably do because Jack does. So that goes to the next item on the list, the SBA PPP loans. You don't need an auditor to answer that question. That was not asked. That was not a requirement. And your criteria, which you, some of you approved, are in this packet. You know that that's not true. So by putting this on there, you're creating doubt in the public's mind. They're like, oh, gosh, I heard so-and-so got the federal money and the city money, and that's being investigated. Is that really what you want to do? I don't think so. So have the audit, you know, because transparency, you know, I think that's great. But a little more work needs to be done on that scope of work. Your staff is trying to be so transparent and feels under so much pressure, I think, your administrative staff, that the only way they felt safe was in duplicating what Jeff put on his application. And I think they failed you in that way. But you may have failed them in making them feel that clear to behave that way. So I think if you include those two items, you'll have more trouble for me, quite frankly. So thank you. I had a part in creating this program. I feel responsible for the 83 or 85 people that are on there, or entities. And I think you're not serving them well if you include those two items as written. Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Any additional comments from councilors? Then I would entertain a motion.
Sure. I'd like to make a motion. I make a motion to direct staff to issue the RFP as written and bring back the response to council review.
I'll second that.
Okay, Councilor Washburn has made a motion, seconded by Councilor Leach, to direct staff to issue an RFP as written and bring back the responses for council review. Councilor Thomas?
Yes.
Councilor Washburn?
Yes.
Councilor Seneca?
Yes.
Councilor Gandy?
Yes.
And Councilor Leach?
Yes.
Thank you. Voting is 5-0. Next on the agenda, number 12, is our budget committee appointments. And Director Crocker.
Hey, before you tonight, budget committee appointments for the next 3 years, beginning in January of 2022. We have three vacant positions, positions 1, 3, and 4. They all expire December 31st of 2021. They've been advertised as required. We have 4 applications: James Huchel, Kara McDaniel, Robert Stott, and Jack Sumner. Huchel, McDaniel, and Sumner are currently on the budget committee in those positions. The citizen positions are appointed by the governing body as a whole per ORS 294.336. Motion is provided. I might make a suggestion, or at least as an alternate. I just copied the motion from previous years, and it lists all three positions in one motion. As an alternative, council could appoint those one at a time in three different motions, which might make the discussion easier. So I just throw that out as an option.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm glad to answer any other questions.
Questions for Director Crocker?
I have one. Is there any way we can change this where not all three come up at once? So, well, you know, you can spread it out a little better.
The committee is pretty large.
I actually brought information on that along, just to give you an idea. So there are 7 citizen positions, and they're 3-year terms. So that means that you have 2 expiring. Let me back up. You have 3 expiring in 2021. In 2022, you're going to have 2 more. And then in 2023, at the end of 2023, you'll have 2 more then also.
Okay.
See, so that's basically you've got you got 2 or 3 that expire every year.
All right.
So unless council wanted to, which I don't know how that works with the charter and all that, but... And a lot of that is governed by ORS 294, so...
Thank you.
That's a good question.
Sure.
Hey, Director Crocker, do you know if any of those individuals are serving on multiple city committees at this time?
Actually, I don't offhand. Other staff might know.
Jim is on the planning commission.
Or
Kim, you're good.
Jim and Jack both are, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And then Kara's on a revolving loan fund?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just, Director Crocker, just to clarify, which three did you say are currently on the committee?
All three of them except Stott, Rob Stott. So Rob Stott is the only one that isn't on the current budget committee.
Okay.
And Jim and Jack are serving, and Kara, all three of the ones on the budget committee are also on another committee. Okay.
Kara's not on another committee, is she?
So they said she's on the.
Revolving loan fund.
Yeah, okay.
Revolving loan fund. Well.
Okay, so any more discussion?
No.
I'll let the person, whoever wants to come forward with the motion, you can decide if you want to do it with one or all three at the same time. Do we need to put which positions, Director Crocker?
Yes.
Okay, so.
It probably doesn't make any difference, but.
Okay, but we do, we also need to have that. I just want to get clarification.
Yes.
Okay, I'll entertain motion.
I make a motion to appoint new members to the city budget committee as follows. And position one, Kara. Or whatever, I don't know what. Is that, am I doing this right? Okay. And the second position, Jack?
Would be position three.
Okay. And third position, Jim.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, Counselor Leach has made a motion, seconded by Counselor Washburn, to appoint three new members to this city's budget committee. Kara McDaniels to position one, Jim Huckel to position three, and Jack Sumner to position four. So.
I'll second that motion.
Counselor Washburn did, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So vote, Counselor Thomas.
Yes.
Counselor Washburn.
Yes.
Counselor Seneca.
Yes.
Counselor Gamby.
No, I'd like to diversify a little bit, so I'm going to say no on that, even though it's a done deal.
And Counselor Leach.
Yes.
So the motion is carried 4-1. And I think that all of them were great applicants. It's nice to have.
They've done a great job.
Yes, and great service to the city.
Yep.
Okay, item number 14, judge pro tem appointments, Director Crocker.
You're skipping number 13?
Oh, 13, I'm sorry. Well, go ahead, number 13.
That would be Director Crocker.
Director Crocker, yes.
So in your packet is an agenda for the budget committee meeting in January. This is a draft agenda, so staff has put together. And January 20th would be a typical date for a budget committee meeting in January, the last few times that we've done it. So it'd be usually about the third week. The items listed are pretty typical, review year-to-date of the finances of the city, how we've done, you know, according to the budget, or compared to the budget. And then I've got on here property tax and general revenue allocations, since that is a change this year that council talked about last month. And then, you haven't talked about it yet, it's coming up on your agenda, but the court budget, and so there would be an updated court forecast for that. It should be interesting to the budget committee. So if you have any questions about it.
I have a question. Would it arrive if I?
Go ahead, yeah, you bet.
It is January 20th, does anybody know what day that is?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Um, I'm only bringing it up because we're still doing the 150th anniversary committee meetings on the same day.
Not that day.
Not that.
The 13th.
Okay, never mind.
Great question.
I didn't want to have it, we all show up for the wrong meetings or the same meetings or, okay. That was all I had.
Any other questions for councilors?
No.
I want to thanks, Mike, for getting this ready. It's going to be here before we know it. And this way, all committee members will be aware of this, I'm sure, by notification. And it's time to do it again. Mm-hmm. And no action on this we need, but just...
Correct. There's no changes, yeah.
Okay, number 14, Judge Pro Tem Appointments, Director Crocker.
I think this one, since it's a mayoral appointment, we should probably table this one until January's meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, I might have gotten in the middle of it.
That's why I jumped in, just to save everybody a little time.
I'm glad you did. Court Budget Discussion, Director Crocker.
Okay. So Finance Committee last year began the process to review and create recommendations for the court department and getting the budget back on track. The committee reviewed a bunch of information about the court activity, the current five-year process forecast, the expenses and the services that the department provides. The demands of the department seem steady, but the resources to support these services really haven't risen over the last 10 years. You can see that in the forecast. And so unfortunately, that means that court is not fully funded by the fees it receives. At the October 7th committee meeting, they recommended the following changes: 2% increase to the revenue allocations, the 20% personnel allocation move to the administration department, which we could put that into play here at the beginning of next month, a reduction of M&S by $5,000, and a reduction of contingency by $500. So now at the November 9th council meeting, the council already approved the property tax and general revenue allocation change for the next budget year. So that recommendation has already been addressed. Attached, so I gave you a couple of charts to try and summarize it quickly. So attachment A, got a blue and a gray chart. And the blue table at the top, so I'm in attachment A, and you've got the blue table at the top is basically, that's this year's budget in the 21-22 column, and then the five-year forecast that was included in the budget document for this year. And so you can see the ending fund balance trend, you know, going further negative as you go out. And then the gray table at the bottom would be what it would look like kind of in short form if you implemented these changes. So you'll see that the ending fund balance trends back up to where it needs to go. If you turn the page, the bigger chart, this kind of lays it all out. In attachment B, so you've got the columns to the left that are headed by the orange boxes. So that gives you prior year actual activity. And you can kind of follow along the ending fund balance there, kind of what it's done. And then the blue column is the current year budget with the one change to the allocation that I mentioned that could be implemented this year. And it would have some effect this year, about half the year. And then you've got the rest of the columns to the right are the new five-year forecast and what that would look like. Green cells on this table represent changes. So these are items that were changed based on those changes, which are listed in the bottom left-hand corner of this chart. So then you see the ending fund balance for those forecasted years, where they trend back up. So basically, it's a five-year plan to get court back on track. Which, of course, is the goal. There's no action required. If there's no additional direction, staff will include the remainder of these changes that council hasn't already addressed in the new budget coming up. And I don't know if there's any questions on that chart. I went over it kind of fast, but.
Counselors, any questions?
Nope.
And the committee may have comments too, of course.
I have a quick comment. Councilor Wells? This was one of the several items on the agenda tonight that the Finance and Judiciary Committee was tasked with reviewing. And, you know, I'm really, first off, I think it's a great idea to review it. And as Director Crocker pointed out in the meeting, that direction came clear back at the beginning of the year, end of last year. It was suggested by the administrator that we take a look at this. And then, so this has been a process that took some time. They worked through a lot of things. We reviewed it in depth at a couple different meetings with the Finance and Judiciary Committee. But I think it's a really positive change. I think it's an excellent situation to be allocating the things so that budget gets back into a positive situation instead of the negative situation it's been kind of drifting towards over the last few years. So I just wanted to thank the administrator and Director Crocker for reviewing that and going through a lot of different options and ideas with us. And I think it's, I just think it's a great move, so.
Any other comments?
I'd just like to say that we didn't have to, nobody lost their job or had to be moved around for these, so it took a lot of work for them, and thank them for their work, and it's definitely a good idea. Track.
Thank you. I also want to say we've taken the same approach here as we have with all the other departments that we've worked on. We don't expect it's going to happen overnight. You rolled it out in a five-year plan. We see the numbers where we are now, which we knew we had to do something about. This was the last department that for us to get to. So I think it's, I again would also thank you for you and staff for the work on this. Any other comments? Okay. Council agenda forecaster, Administrator Canova.
So I don't have a whole lot. Just want to make sure everybody sees if there's any questions on the January meeting coming up. The only thing I'll probably point out is on the January 11th, the item number 7 is the council rules and code amendment for special meetings. I believe, Kitty, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the one to amend the code to reflect the
special meetings,
well,
it'll be two things, adopt council rules, and then also change special meeting notice from
48
hours to 24 hours.
So what you said. So I just want to point out that's just kind of a follow-up on that since council gave us the green light on that. Other than that, I really don't have a whole lot. If council would like to see something added, please let me know.
Okay. So let's move on to committee reports. So, Councilor Washburn, don't you have two committees? Two chair, am I correct?
We, on public.
Public Works?
Public Works, we discussed about what's going to happen with DEQ. We're not sure yet. What trying to do is expansion on the lagoons. Like Director Capping said, we gotta wait and see what they're saying, and we, as everybody knows, we were trying to do some test wells, well, that has really skyrocketed on trying to find somebody that even wants to do it. And on my other committee, we didn't have a meeting. Pool's pretty much shut down right now, and I think we got a big meeting coming up in January.
Okay. Councilor Saniga for Community Development.
We just had a quick meeting this month for the street closure, so short and sweet, so Santa could come, and that's about all we talked about for community development this time. And I'll be getting with Gary. I do have some suggestions maybe for a January, February meeting.
Okay. And then Councilor Gamby, you have F&J and public safety.
Yeah, so public safety, we're going to switch the meeting this month. Instead of doing it the night before New Year's Eve, we're going to do it January 7th at 6:30 p.m. That's a Friday. That notice is going to be going out from Kitty in the next couple days. Just a heads up, so it's not going to be December 30th. We had a great discussion at our last public safety committee that touched on a lot of things, but in particular it touched on what our police officers are really tasked with and the amount of coverage we have on a given shift, and how frequently they'll be on their way to the call and they're making a decision about what has a priority, if it's helping somebody capture a fugitive on the loose, or if it's patrolling a particular street. So they're constantly being forced to make those kind of decisions. It was a very interesting discussion, and I just recommend anybody to pull up the audio if you're interested in hearing more about that. In regards to finance and judiciary, obviously you can see a lot of those things that Director Crocker is bringing forward. And that's good. We may, obviously council tasked us with the RFP for the audit. That's been a really good process, and a lot of clarity has come to that issue already. There was a lot of confusion about how many programs there were for the pandemic support, and which program was in effect. And that was clarified at these meetings through this process. The RFP is obviously now moving to the next stage, and then it will be before council again, before it's actually approved or somebody's hired. So obviously with all these processes, we get a lot of looks at them. And sometimes over time, time is on our side, and time, it allows us to look at things clearly. And so I think we're just moving through the things that the council has asked us to do, and we're making progress on a lot of them. And I am really happy to say that we got through everything this year in that committee that the council had tasked us with. And that's pretty good. So I'm happy to say that in regards to that committee. And other than that, I'll just, we'll see you the next go round in these committees. We'll just keep, we're transitioning a little bit to the budget committee. So finance and judiciary is going to take a little bit of a back burner to the actual budget committee over the next couple months, which is normal and happens annually. So The other big thing we discussed in there is the wage study that came back. That was a very interesting discussion, which was also a long discussion. So I'd refer you to the audio on that too. But we finally got a study back on the non-union positions in the city, and some wage comparisons with 8 or 9 other cities in the state that have similar positions. That was it was very interesting to see where we at in a lot of different angles that we looked at. And that's going to come back to the committee. And then obviously at some point we hope to bring that back to the council too. So
thank you. So that concludes staff reports. Committee reports, so staff reports, let's start with Chief Morris.
We've had a list of some things that have gone on in the last couple months, or in the last month, but given our delay tonight, I think we'll just pass and we'll save it for next month.
Okay, any questions for the chief?
I did have one. Is our jail open yet?
Yeah, it's opened on a limited basis when we actually need it, when we've got somebody that's presenting a significant problem for us, but other than that, not on a regular basis.
Okay, because I just noticed we had usually 248 jail, and then there was lodging with the other place. I just wasn't sure how that was going.
Yeah, so on select people where we're having problems, where we know the county won't hold them, and we've got really nothing to do with them, then we will put them here, but it's still, because of the pandemic and that, we're still trying to limit that just for the safety of our people.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the chief?
Nope.
Okay. Director Kathy.
Okay, so I'll touch on a couple things that Councilor Washburn talked about. What he's referring to at DEQ is they've submitted us a letter saying, we think you should stay in this, and it's going to be limited parameters or stringent parameters, and you got to give us an answer by December 31st. So we sent back a letter saying, we'd love to do that, but you haven't given us what parameters are, so we don't know what the cost is to go to Flat Creek or the Wampum. So we've asked them to provide that information to us so that we can go through that process and find out what the best option for the city is. Last email I got from her was, we'll be back to you in a bit. Whatever that means. I don't know how long the bid is, but we'll figure it out. The test wells, we haven't had a lot of luck, although I did talk to a well driller today, and he's going to try and help us out, either providing that service for us or helping us find somebody that will do it at a relatively normal cost. Mm-hmm. As you guys all know, there's a lot of construction going on in town. We finally got all our parts for our water line, so we've got the guys moving forward with that. They have everything to keep going, and then I opened up my bag and I took a wrench out and threw it in that pile. We got a fiber line we need to install over at the school, and I want to do that during Christmas break. That way they're not there and we're not affecting them, and then they'll jump back on the water. That's about it.
Any questions for Director Crawford? Or Director Kappen, excuse me. Okay, Director Crawford.
I was going to mention that the RLF committee meeting for council information is scheduled for Wednesday, January 12th at 1 p.m. here at City Hall. So that's moving forward. That was the only thing.
Okay. Any questions for Administrator Canope?
Yes, sir. So I got a couple of things. Just wanted to update the council. We are still waiting on funding from the state for the purchase of the building next door and for the community center. They have started issuing checks, so we're expecting it any time now, so they're slowly working their way through, but we're still green-lighted with just bureaucracy is extra slow, so we're just being patient. With that, the tenants that were leasing the front have actually bought a different building and are no longer renting from us, so we're taking some time to kind of go through the building and see what needs to be addressed right away, what can wait a little bit, just kind of those things. We will need some light fixtures because, there's missing like 8. But we'll get that taken care of and maybe help us see a little better with some light in there. So that's going good there. You notice tonight we started switching over to the Zoom platform that the council asked us to bring online. For the first little while, we are going to be running free conference call kind of simultaneously to help the public get used to that change. Like tonight, we actually have had a couple of people still dial in on the free conference call instead of the Zoom side, even though we've changed what's on the agenda. So we'll probably do that for a couple, 2 or 3 months just to get people, give them time to get used to the new stuff. We've got, our fingers crossed on this. This has got a lot of neat features. As I was mentioning during the break, the boards that we have actually have a built-in digital whiteboard that can be shared as part of the meeting and kind of better integrate all of that. So like during budget, especially during budget time, there for a number of years, they said you should break out the whiteboard. Well, we still have it now. We just don't have to have a separate item. We've got a digital. And so that works really well there. The last thing is a couple of digital initiatives. Speaking of digital, that we're working on, you'll be seeing coming before council some contracts to redo our websites. It's been a number of years since our website's been redone. The world has changed several times over, so we are looking at getting that redone. We have money budgeted this year, but it's just now getting the right vendor on board. Katie's been super helpful with that, getting us what the other cities have been doing and kind of helping guide us down that path. The next thing we're looking at is something to help better automate, I mean, I use that word loosely, our nuisance complaints, like tall grass, abandoned refrigerators, stuff like that, and our public records requests. Because right now, a lot of everything we do on both of those, Katie has to track manually. And once someone makes a request or a complaint, it's not real good if you're on the outside looking in, how to figure out where are we at in the process. With this software, it has an online portal, so people can go to the city's website, log in, and see where is their request, what's going on with it. We can also be able to set up triggers, so as things progress through, these folks are just automatically sent email updates of, hey, here's where it's at. The piece that I like, as well as like if we have folks who maybe they make a lot of records requests or stuff like that, once they set up their own little unique user ID, they have access to anything they've ever requested right there in their own little dashboard. They can pop in and say, hey, did I ever make that request? Oh, I can look and say, oh, yep, I did. Here's that information. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. So give them kind of that repository that they can come back in and look and kind of see what's going on, which then creates a kind of a searchable database for anybody else in the public. They can search and see, hey, has anybody made a request for the Public Works garbage truck replacement plan? I don't know, just pick something real quick. Well, they can search that and see if that information is there, so they don't have to make another request. They can just access what somebody else had. And if that solves what they want, great, everybody moves on, and so they're not trying to continue to engage staff with the same thing over and over. They've got it there, it's, you know, gives kind of, brings a little more of a self-service element to it that we don't really have today. So the big thing, like I said, for us is trying to keep people better informed of what we're doing, where things are at, and keep ourselves informed too, because we get busy, especially like in the summertime for Public Works, that, you know, they got a lot of stuff going on, and having another little layer to help keep things in the forefront of our mind, you know, can help people not be quite as disgruntled with what is the city doing.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, we got money for both in the budget this year, so we're just kind of getting that wrapped around, so the council and committee will be seeing that. We'd like to try to get that rolling sooner rather than later. Other than that's all I got.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Excellent. Nice to hear. Any questions for City Administrator from any council members?
No, you answered mine right the first thing you said, because you knew that's what I was going to ask.
Yes, ma'am. I made myself a note.
I knew. So,
Jace, I do have one question.
Okay, sure. Councilor Thomas.
And I think you might have answered it, too. I was looking at the, there was calls for the attorney fees on a building. So is that the building that you're just?
Well, what that's saying is the building department, not a building.
Not the
general fund building. Building department within general fund. That's what those fees are for.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it's Gary spending money.
He's so
I'm good at it.
Okay. Item 19, previous month's expenditures. Any counselors have any questions that they haven't already asked on expenditures? Hearing none, let's go to counselor comments, and let's start with Counselor Leach.
Oh, fine. Oh, let's see. I wanted to thank Gary and his bunch for the float or in the chamber parade, which was wonderful, and it was great to see all the people. It's been a whole year, and those kids were just crazy. It was awesome to see. I went to all the committees, and lots of work done. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of you, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
Councilor Gamby.
Yeah, good. just echo that comment by Councillor Leach about how awesome it was to see the light parade back in full force. That was a really fun event, and I thought the chamber did a good job of putting that on in connection with the utility department's utility. What is a utility? EPUD, is that a company? Utility company? I guess they're a company, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was really fun. So in regards to that, I thought it was, so the auditor's report tonight, I want to comment on that just momentarily. The auditor's report was a report of the fiscal year that ended in June, and we're getting the audit report now, correct? So the fiscal year that ended in June was June 30th, 2021. That budget was approved the prior year in 2020, right as the pandemic was starting. And at that time, our budget committee and many of the councillors at that time predicted a lot of really negative outcomes were on the way, including advocating strongly for 5% and 10% reductions in staff throughout the city. I'm grateful that that did not pass, and I'm grateful that the city, as Councillor Thomas mentioned in regards to the other discussion, I'm really grateful we didn't fire people and cut additional people, cause additional people in the city to lose their jobs based on that perspective of fear that we had back in the spring of 2020. That's not to say that nobody is getting sick or that there isn't some problems out there, but I'm glad that calmer heads did prevail and we didn't fire 5% to 10% of our staff, as we had discussed in a couple scenarios. Not only did we not fire 5% to 10% of our staff in our different departments, as the auditor reported today, the city came out over almost 1.5 million ahead in this year. That is such a testament to me of the great staff that we have. They went through a pandemic year. They didn't fire their staff. They didn't cut their staffs, but yet they still manage our city to such an extent that we were able to come out ahead. If you say the proof is in the pudding, that's proof in the pudding of how good not only that budget committee at the time, their decision, it was a close decision, it was 8-7 or 9-8 or something, but the decision that time to move forward with confidence and faith. So I'm just really proud of the staff and of the committee. And I don't care if you voted yes or no. As a committee, we still came to the result we did. And I just want to really focus on that for a minute and be grateful, because there is a lot to be grateful for right now. And there's a lot of people in our town that are not only working hard, but there's a lot of people in our town that are praying hard for the citizens of our town and for our community. And I'm grateful for those people. And I'm grateful for the people that served on that committee. I'm grateful for the people that are serving on the committees now. It's great to see Bill. He served many years. It was fun to see Rob's name come up tonight. He served tremendously over many, many years in a lot of different committees. And it's fun to see those names. And I give you a little bit of your due respect. You were the committee chair last year that did not fall for the fear, and you voted and you split a tie vote and moved the budget along, and our staff was able to do great things with that budget and come out ahead, even though we didn't fire people and we didn't bend to the pandemic. So thank you, and I am going to end my comments with that.
Thank you. Councillor Shannon.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention just real quick about the parade. It was great to see that back. I heard probably 5 or 6 different times throughout the night, people just kind of overhearing people talking that they were excited that the parade was back, and they were like, oh, look, for those of you who know the Hallmark Christmas movies, they people commented on it, and I heard it like, oh, that's cool. And then I heard it like 5 or 6 times from different people that it reminded them of one of those Hallmark Christmas movies with the parade. So I'm glad to see that back, and I'm glad to see our community getting back out there and, you know, moving forward with kind of, you know, what our usual was back then. I also just wanted to say real quick, the night of the parade, we had an incident that happened that the police department responded to. I don't know all the details of it, but I know a little bit, and I just want to say thank you to the police department for the quick response. Even though it happened after the parade, we still had a lot of people in the downtown area, which could have ended
horribly.
Off, yes. And so, you know, you guys responded quickly, and fire responded quickly, and I want to say thank you for that. We could have had a completely different outcome, considering what took place. And I also want to remind everybody that we do have our 150th anniversary coming up next year for the city. And I really encourage the community to come out and participate in that with us. One of the ways that we're going to make this celebration take place is by our community getting involved, as we're trying to put on a week-long event to celebrate our 150 years. And then I just want to finish by thanking staff and the council and everybody for all their good work for 2021. And I hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Washburn.
I just want to say thanks to everybody for all the hard work that went in tonight to get through all of this in a decent hour. And I hope that the mayor is doing very well right now.
And we're not done these offices.
Thank you. Councilor Thomas.
Same thing. Thank you to staff for all that you do. You work some pretty good miracle. And Kitty gets sometimes left out. She needs more thanks than what we sometimes give her. So, but
she's
thanks.
She's our unsung hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thank you, and Merry Christmas to everybody, and be there.
I just want to echo on some of the comments that have already been made. First of all, I did participate in the parade. I drove the truck that had the last entry in the parade with Santa Claus on our float for the Lions Club. And we started at the high school. And the closer we got to downtown, you start seeing more and more and more people, starting 1 deep, 2 deep, 3 deep. And I don't know, when I got down here to the town to the corner of Greenwood, how many it was deep, but it shows you what a community we have, what a great community support we have. And there were a lot and excellent entries in the parade. And so thanks for everybody, Public Works, the chamber, the businesses that participated. But it was a lot of fun. And just seeing those kids come running up to the float one to see Santa Claus, and that's what it's all about.
Yep.
You know, really, that's what it's all about. So, echo that. I also want to say compliment staff and the council. It's been a up and down. We've done a lot. We probably more we'd like to do. It's been an interesting year. And I want to go back once. The city attorney, I didn't give you an opportunity if you had anything you wanted to say before our last item.
You know, I'll no comment on the general comment section. I'll be talking with you all here shortly.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, and then with the mayor gone after leaving the meeting, that we'll skip that agenda item, and hopefully let's all hope, I know we did, that the mayor will be feeling better, and tomorrow will be another day. So at this point...
Ken, excuse me.
Yes.
Before we depart, could we, Andrea, could we make sure we don't cancel the mayor's meeting for Thursday? A lot of new organizations are coming Thursday.
I can't. I'll facilitate it whether she's there or not.
Say again?
I'll facilitate it whether she's there or not.
No, I mean, let's not cancel the meeting.
Yeah, he's saying, make sure don't cancel the 150th meeting.
Oh, no.
There's some new organizations that are springing in.
Good.
I think we can handle it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the City of Junction City will now meet in executive session pursuant to ORS 192.660, subsection 2F, to consider records or information that are exempt by law from public disclosure and ORS 192.660, subsection 2I, to review and evaluate the job performance of a public officer. Representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience and those attending virtually are asked to leave the meeting. Representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on any of the deliberations during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decisions may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, the meeting will be adjourned.